Today's shiur is a Masechta Sukkah on Daf Lamed Vav, beginning on the top line, the fifth word, Nizdak Nikav. The Gemara is referring back to our Mishnah, which told us that if one has an Esrog, which is Nizdak, it's split, it's cracked, or Nikav, it has a hole in it, such Esrogim are Psulim. And the Mishnah there explained that Nika v'choser kol shehu is possible, and Rashi in the Mishnah says chada milsa, that this is all one case, it's not two separate cases. In other words, the whole cause that there should be something missing from the esrig. And Rashi continues, and this is the lashon of Rashi, de'ilu nika v'loy choser, because if one had made a hole and there was nothing missing from the esrig, shetochav boy machat voitzio, he stuck in a needle and he took it out, but he did not remove anything from the esrig itself, kosher, that would be kosher, kidiktani seifa, as it says in the seifa of the Mishnah there on daf lamed dalet amid beis, that nika v'loy chaser kol shehu kosher. So the Mishnah itself has explained to us that Nikav is possible if something is missing. On this, the Gemara comments, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, or as the Bach says, Tani Ula Bar Chinina, Nikav Nekav Mefulish B'mashehu. If one, as we have the picture in the Sefer Ma'or HaMefuor, on page 60, number 180, we see a needle that is stuck through the esrog, from one side of the esrog to the other, that's a neck of mefulish. There it possibles, even if the hole that the needle is making is b'mashehu, is a very slight hole. In other words, when it's einu chaser, in the case of the Mishnah, where it was kosher, because it was not missing anything, that's only if it's not a hole that goes from one side of the esrog to the other. But if there's a hole that goes from one side of the esrog to the other, even if it's a hole that's as big as a mashehu, with very the smallest possible hole, yet it would be possible. And Tosfos and Divrei Maschil in Nizdak Tanina tells us that it doesn't necessarily have to go all the way through, but in fact, if the needle goes to the core of the esrog, where the seeds are found, that is also halachically considered as if it would be a neck of mefulish, and there it would be possible, even if nothing is missing, it would be considered as if it's going from one side of to the other. Continues Ula Bar Chinina, Usha'enoi mefulish beke iser. If the hole does not go from one side to the other, then it is possible if it is as big enough as a coin, which is called an iser. And Rashi in Divrei Maschil Tani Ula tells us at the end of the fourth wide line, Va'afal pishloi choser klum, kigoin shetochav bo yisod, ava, even if nothing is missing, and one put a instrument there which caused the flesh of the esrog to be pushed back, as we can see again in picture number 180 on page 60 in the sefer that we've been using, Hamor Hamafor. There we see the needle on the right side, and on the left side you could see the instrument that went into the esrog and caused an indentation. And Rashi tells us that based on this Gemara, based on what Ula Bar Chinina said, it would come out that we would have three psulim. We would have psul number one if there was something missing, and even if something was not missing, if it was a hole from one side to the other, it would be possible. And even if it would not be a hole from one side to the other, and even if there would be nothing missing, it would be possible if the indentation is as big as an iser. And the only time it's kosher is if it has none of these chesroinus. It's not missing anything, it doesn't go from one side to the other, and it does not have an indentation as big as an iser. Boy, Rava, and now Rava had a question. No, du be'esrik simoni treifa mahu. What happens if an esrig had similar defects in the esrig as one of the 18 treifas that render an animal unfit and not kosher? Would that likewise make an esrig puzzle? Maikam Aboyle, the Gemara wants to know exactly what is the case which Rava has a question about. Because we could think of three psulim by an esrig, three cases which are negeya, the paslus of an esrig, and the halachas of these psulim are written in the Mishnah. E niklaf tnina. If your question, Rava, was concerning an esrig where the skin of the esrig was peeled, we have learned that. It says in the Mishnah that that's possible. And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, in the pshat in the Gemara at the end of Lamed Hamed Beis and the top here of Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, where the Gemara says, Ha bekula ha bemiktsasa, the Rabbeinu Chananel learns that if an esrig is peeled completely, it is possible. If it is only peeled in a little bit of the esrig, parts of the esrig, then it is kosher. And according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that is precisely the din by an animal. If it was skinned completely while it was alive, it is treif. It's one of the 18 signs of treif. And if it was not skinned completely, it would be considered kosher. That is not considered a sign of being a treif animal. And the reason is because if it's skinned completely, the animal has no chance of rejuvenation, of staying alive. And the same would apply to an esrig. If an esrig was totally peeled, it would rot very quickly, and therefore it's considered a possible esrig. However, if it is only in a few places skinned, both an animal would be considered kosher and an esrig would be considered kosher as well. So therefore, Rav's question could not be concerning niklaf. E nizdak tanina. If your question by an esrig, if it's split, we've also learned that. What would be the comparable treifa? So Rashi explains that the animal, the throat of the animal, Rashi and Divrei Maskil Nistag, the Hainu Gargarish, and Nizdak Kula, Shalayn Ishtar, Bachul Yulamayla, Bachul Yulamata. There's a cracked windpipe from top to bottom, and there's no whole cartilage, not on the top and not on the bottom, and that renders the animal treifa. A picture of this can be seen in Hamor Hamafur on page 61, number 181, where we see that the windpipe is cracked and all the cartilages are cracked from the top of the windpipe to the bottom. That is certainly a siman treifa, and it's possible. Hu adin by an esrig. If the esrig was cracked in a similar fashion, it would be possible as well. So we've learned nistak. And what is Rava's question? Inikav tnina. And if the question is about having a hole, which Rashi says the Ramaskal nikav going nikav krum shomoyach, the membrane of the brain of the animal has a hole in it, even if it doesn't go from one end to the other, but just a simple hole renders it a treifa. And here, Toisvis in Divrei Maskil inizdak tnina tells us on the fourth line, Vahashta Hoda Porchala Tanina Loyhabikena Khrini. Here the question of the Gemara is not the same as the first two questions. Al Kloimer, Tanina Shu Kosher Gabi Esrig, Kedik Tani Masnisa, Nikavaloi Khosher Kosher. By a animal, if it has a hole on the membrane of the brain, there it is treif. But by a esrig, in a case where there's nothing missing, it's just a puncture, a hole, and it doesn't go all the way through from one end to the other, in fact, there the halach, as we learned previously, it would be kosher. So what Rav is saying, it's different than the first two. By the first two, we explained that whatever the din would be by an animal, the same din would be by a esrig. If it's possible by an, if it's treif by an animal, it would be possible by an esrig. And here Tosfos explains to us, but by nikav, he's saying differently. The Gemara is challenging Rava that this has been learned, namely that here it is not like treifa. By treifa, it is a considered one of the yud ches treifas, and by an esrig, it would be kosher. But either way, your question has already been resolved, either lipsul or that it's kosher. What is your question? So the Gemara says, Kikama boyle kedu ulam Rabbi Yochanan. When did Rava have a question? The same subject that was discussed by Ulun, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, concerning a treifa. If there was a lung where the inside of the lung, as Rashi says in Divrei HaMaskil, Reish Nishmokitan, opposite the Gemara that we're learning now, Habosir Shabbatach HaKrum, Nimuach, it melted, Vinasa Kimaim, it became like water. And you can see a picture of this on page 61 in Hamora Mefor, number 182, where the lung, the meat of the lung, is all disintegrated. But as the Gemara is going to tell us, the bronchial tubes are still intact. So Rabbi Yochanan, the Ulla said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that a lung that poured the flesh of the lung like a pitcher of water is kosher. V'yomer Rava, and Rava said concerning that halacha, v'hu dekaima simfuna, as long as the bronchial tubes are still intact. Hol loy mekaima simfuna treifa. But if the bronchial tubes are not intact, then the animal in fact is treifa. And the question is here, what is the halacha concerning an esrig? What is the comparison to esrig? The Gemara says, hachamai, what will be the halacha here by esrig? And Rashi says, divra maskel hachamai, opposite the Gemara we're learning, im nimuach v'kaimi simfuna dahayna chadre azera shagarina b'soichav. If you have the core, and in the core you have the rooms which contain the openings which contain the seed of the esrog, so that is intact, but the rest of the flesh of the esrog is in a liquid state, would that esrog be kosher? And what is the reason to compare it to the din of treifa, and what would be the reason to not to compare it? So the Gemara says, Dilma hasim hu d'lo shalat b'avir, over there I say it remains kosher if it has the bronchial tubes intact, because there's no air that is affecting that area of the animal. It is inside the animal, and therefore the animal can still survive that. Therefore, hadar bari, it will rejuvenate. It will come back to its health. It can rejuvenate. The lung can rejuvenate. The animal can stay alive. Aval hacha, here by an esrig, deshalt be'avir, that the air is affecting it. Seruchi misrachas, I will say there that the entire esrig, not only since it's out in the open air, so it will get entirely affected, not only the meat, but the core with the seeds will also be affected. Oidil meloishner, maybe there is no difference between an esrig or a treifa. That was the question that Rava had, and that question remains unresolved. And now the Gemara is going to try to bring a raya to this question. Toshima, come in here. The Gemara is going to list various psulim of an esrig. Esrig tapuach, soruach, if you have an esrig that is blown up, it's swollen, it's decayed, or it's soruach, it's rotted. And the Gemara soon will try to define exactly what is the difference between tapuach and soruach. Or it's kovish, it's pickled, as Rashi says, it's or bechardel, it's in vinegar or in mustard pickled. Or shaluk, Rashi says, mevushel b'yosibor, it was cooked very much in fire. Or it's kushi, it's from Ethiopia, it is black, and the Gemara will soon explain the exact definition of the Ethiopian esrig that is possible, loven, or it's white, umenumer, or it's spotted. In all of these cases, the halach is, it's possible. Esrik kikadr, an esrik that is round like a ball, puzzle. The yesh aymerim, some say, afatium, even if it's split down the middle and it is like two esrogin Siamese twins, the yesh aymerim hold that is also puzzle. Tanakama holds it's kosher. What is the machlokes between the Tanakama and the yesh aymerim? The yesh aymerim hold that you can only be yoitz if you hold one esrig as part of the dalad minim. But if you're holding two esrogim, two fruits, it's puzzle. And a tiyum, a Siamese twin esrig, is like you're holding two fruits and it's puzzle. Whereas the Tanakama holds it's kosher because since it grew together, we consider it all as one fruit. Esrig haboiser, if we have an esrig that is underdeveloped, and Rashi says similar to what we have in grapes, that we have a stage of the grape which is called boiser, and Rashi says cotton kipula loven, it's small like a white bean. And here we're going to have a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. Rabbi Akiva poisel. Rabbi Akiva says an esrig that is of this size is possible. And the Chacham say that it is kosher. A Tosfos on Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis asks a question on this Rashi, and Tosa says that in the Mishnah there we have a machlokas, what is the shear of an esrig, the smallest kosher shear of an esrig, and there one sheet says that it's kebeya, it's an egg's worth, and the other says that it is as big as an egg, as a walnut. If we're going to say like Rashi, that the size of a boser esrig is like a small bean, a small white bean, and the chachamim we said are machshirin, they say it's kosher, it would come out, we'd have a third sheet which is not mentioned in the Mishnah earlier on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. So it would seem, asked Tosfos a strong question on Rashi, that the chachamim could not be telling us that such a small esrig like a white bean would be kosher, or else why isn't there sheet mentioned there together with the Machloikis Tanoim? And that's why Tosfos says that this esrog avada has the correct shear, either a bay or an egos, but the question is, it's an unripe esrog, and that's the Machloikis Rabbi Kiva the Chum, whether an unripe esrog, even though it has the right size, is kosher or not. The Kapas Tamorim wants to defend Rashi and says that of course Rashi did not mean to say that the Chachamim were machshir an esrig with the actual size of a pulah lavan. Rather, Rashi was saying that proportionately a boser is the size of a pulah lavan in a grape. If one would have proportionately the same size esrig, it would be in the same ratio, the same proportion as pulah lavan is to a grape, this small esrog would be to the larger esrog, if it would grow its normal amount, comparable, it would be to a pulah lavan to a grape, that would be the size of the esrog to the larger esrog. But in fact, even the smaller esrog has the correct shear, but the fact is that it's only part of its normal size. Is that considered kosher or not, even though it has the regular shear? Maybe that's too much of a disparity between its normal size and its smaller size. The proportionate ratio of a boiser to a full-size grape. So on that, Rabbi Kiva apostles and the Chachamim are mafshirin, but Rashi never meant to say that a pulah lavan, according to Chachamim, would be kosher by an esrog. Continues the brisa that the Gemara is bringing. God lo betfus, if somebody put a esrog in a tfus, and Rashi says that anything that is put in a form, such as the lechem aponim, that was put into certain kalim to give it the shape of the lechem aponim, or anything else that one uses to create the form of another item is called a tfus. So if somebody put an esrog to grow into this form, va'asukim in beriacheris, and he made it like something else, and Rashi says, and we're going to refer back to this Rashi b'si'at rishmai on Amud Beis, Rashi says kimin beriacheris she'eino doim la'esriklal, it's not comparable to any normal esrig. The halach is pasul. Ketani mias. We learned many psulim here, but we were focusing on the first two. The first two psulim were tapuach saruach. It was decayed, it was swollen, and it was rotted. My love, what is the difference between tapuach and saruach? Tapuach mibachutz. It means that it was decayed from the outside. That pasul, even if the inside was intact. Or another psul, a separate psul, is saruach mibifnim. It was all rotten from the inside. Rashi says that the clip, the outside was kayemes, just like a rea, just like that by the case of the lung, that the flesh was able to be poured like a flask of water. So to here, the inside was pourable, it had rotted, but the outside still had the skin intact. And what do we see? That this is possible. So l'chayra, this would be an answer to Rava's question. So Gemara says, loy, idvi, idvi, b'chutz, both tapuach and tsaruch mean from the outside. Loy kasha, and we have no question, hode tapach afal gavdloy sarach, hode sarach afal gavdloy tapach. And Rashi gives here two pshatim. In the Divrei HaMashkel, Maschel loy, tapach afal gavdloy sarach, sarach afal gavdloy tapach. This is five lines before it gets wide. So Rashi says the first pshat is, tafach would be kigon shenaflu gishamim betalish, that you had separated the esrog from the tree and water fell on it, and that would decay it from the outside. And sarach is nirkav. Sarach means that it rotted without the water coming on it from the outside. So both are on the outside, and one is bloated and decayed from water, and one rotted without water falling on it. Lishnach, we're in a second shot. Tafach is nirkav, it rotted, and sarach is recha ra, machmas talam shachlu. This is a bad smell from worms that ate into the esrog. So therefore, it is no raya to Rav Ishaila, and the Gemara, in fact, does not bring a clear proof to answer Rav's question one way or the other. And now the Gemara is going to explain the brisa that we have just been learning. Amar Mar, esrog kushi pasul. We learned that an Ethiopian esrog is pasul. The Gemara asks the kasher, Vatanya, we learned in another brisa, kushi kasher, that an Ethiopian esrog is kasher. The Gemara, and then we also learned there, domel kushi pasul. If it is comparable to an Ethiopian esrog, then it is pasul. Rashi explains, what does it mean, doimel kushi? In the last short line, shegadol kan vareu shachar, it grew not in Ethiopia, it grew over here, it grew in Bavel, and it's black. So the halacha is, that is pasul. And Rashi says, in the first wide line, shenitmehu counterfeit. Rashi uses the old French, counter. It's a counterfeit. In other words, if it grows in Ethiopia itself, it's the real Ethiopian esrog, then, as we'll soon see in the Gemara, under certain circumstances, it could be kosher. But when it's only a doimel kushi, which means it grew here, it grew outside of Ethiopia, and yet it's black, it's not like the normal esrog that would grow outside of Ethiopia, it's counterfeit, then in Chnami, it's possible. But meanwhile, what is our question? That one brisa said that a esrog kushi is possible, and we learned in another brisa that esrog kushi is kosher. Amar Abaye. Now the Gemara is going to give us two terutz, one from Abaye and one from Rava. Amar Abaye ki tnan nami masnis and daim lekushi. When our Mishnah said that it is like a kushi, it meant it is daim lekushi. Ein echanami. It was that other psul, even though the Mishnah didn't use the word dome, but we have to say that's what it meant. Dome lekushi, if it's counterfeit, it's growing outside of Ethiopia, and it's black like the Ethiopian esrog, then echanami, it will be possible. But if it is the real, authentic Ethiopian esrog, that one kushi is kosher. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different teretz. We don't have to put in a word dome lekushi in the Mishnah. Loi kasher. Holon, this is for us, meaning, as Rashi explains, that the Mishnah, this is a Mishnah which was written in Eretz Yisrael. So for Bnei Eretz Yisrael, it's a Nechanami Posel. For Holohu and for Bnei Bovel, it is kosher. Rashi explains in the second wide line that according to Rava, Kushi is also Posel. But there's no problem. That one place, the Mishnah says Pasul, and the Brisa we found that it's kosher. Because the Mishnah, speaking of Bnei Yisrael, and they are far from Ethiopia, and they are not Ruggle in those Esrogim. So for them, it's a Psul, it's not Hodr. It's not something that people are not used to. It's completely looks different than a regular Esrog. That for the Bnei Yisrael would be Pasul. However, the Brisa is going for the Bnei Bavel. They are close to Kush. And they are used to having these type of esrogim there, and therefore it is kosher. Now the Rishash asks a question that if you look at a map geographically, Ethiopia is closer to Eretz Yisrael than to Bavel. And what the Achorinim answer is that Ein Echanami, going by land, it's taka closer. However, going by water, which was the prevalent way of going from one place to another, it is closer. And there was, in fact, much commerce between Bavel and Ethiopia versus Eretz Yisrael and Ethiopia, where there was not so much commerce. It was farther away by boat, and there was not so much commerce. So the Gemara is coming out that the Mishnah that says that the esrog kushi is pasul is speaking about from Eretz Yisrael. If you have those esrogim there, it was very uncommon, and therefore it's possible. And in Bavel, where it was more common, there was a lot of commerce between the two countries. They were used to it. There is no psul of hadar, and it is kosher. But doyma lekushi, if we grow one here and it's counterfeit, and it only looks like a kushi one, then in fact it's pasul all over. Continues the Gemara explaining the next part. Esrig haboyser, if you have a small esrig, as we explained before, that it either, the pashtus of Rashi would be that it's a small, as a white bean, or as we explained, that only proportionately what a boyser is to a large grape, that is the size of this esrig compared to its normal size. In that case, Rabbi Kiva poysel v'chama machshirin. Amar Rabba, said Rabba, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Dover Echad. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon said the same halacha concerning two different halachas. Rabbi Kiva, Hoda Morin. Rabbi Kiva is what we just learned concerning boyser of an esrig, that it is pasul. Rab Shimon Mai, what is the halacha where Rab Shimon said the same as Rabbi Kiva? The Sanyor, as the Mesorah Shas tells us, it's really this nun. We learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Maisras Perik Aleph Mishnah Dalad. Rab Shimon Poiter Esrigim Bekaitan. If an esrig is very small, it's the size of a boyser, then it's not chayiv in meiser. So the Rabbah wants to equate what Rabbi Kiva says about esrig haboiser, that it is possible for an esrig, so too Rabbi Shimon holds it's too small and it's not chayiv in meiser. Amalei Abaye says no, maybe there's no comparison between the two halachas. Dilmalohi adkan lekama Rabbi Kiva hacha. When did Rabbi Kiva say here it's possible to be in hadr? Veleka, you need hadr, and if you have such a small esrig, it is not considered hadr. Aval hasam over there, la'inyan hilchas meiser, rabbanan surely. Maybe Rabbi Kiva will agree to the rabbanan who will argue on Rav Shimon, and they hold that even such a small esrig is chayv and meiser, inami, or we could say the opposite. Ad kan lekom Rav Shimon hasam, eladichsev, aser ta aser, es kol tfuah zaracha. The Rav Shimon only holds his halacha by meiser, that esrig aboiser is not chayv and meiser, because the Torah tells us that you should give meiser as kol tvuah zaracha, all your grain of your seed. And since the Torah found it important to mention the word seed here, we darshan kederach shvenei adam might see in Lazria that an item is only chayv and meiser if it is big enough that people will be able to take the seeds of that plant and replant it and make more plants. However, something that's very small and the seeds cannot be taken to create other plants is not chayv and meiser. So there, where the Torah put a special emphasis on zaracha, there ain't a chanami, and esrig and boiser would not be chayv and meiser. Aval hacha, but here legabi hilchas esrig, maybe this is not a chesaron in hadik rabbanan svirlei that it in fact would be kosher. As we turn to daf lamed vav amid beis, v'su loy midi. There's nothing more to discuss about this, as Rashi says, the top Rashi ain lod nachadar v'zed loy sav Rabbi Shimon k'Rabbi Kiva v'loy Rabbi Kiva. We don't, in fact, have to say that it's the same svara, but rather each one may be saying their halacha for a different reason, and they will not agree in the halacha. Rabbi Kiva will not agree in Rabbi Shimon's halacha, and Rabbi Shimon won't agree in Rabbi Kiva's halacha. From the end of the Gemara, it would seem that's how the Gemara remains, that we do not say that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon hold of the same opinion. They are saying their halachas for different reasons. However, if one looks at the Rabbeinu Chananel at the bottom of the Avlamed Vav Amid Aleph, Rabbeinu Chananel says, "Rab Shimon de Potter Esor Esroigim Bekoitnan Min Amaiser Keshitas Rabbi Kiva Amra." That although the Gemara said the Sula Midi, Rabbeinu Chananel, and there is proof from Tosfos Yontiv and the Rav in Masechta Maisers that they go with that same Shita, that in fact Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon do say the same thing. They hold an esrig aboiser is too small, and therefore it's not a hadr for esrig, and it's not chayv in meiser as well. Continues the Gemara, Godloy bitfus v'asukim in beri acheres pasul. We learned in the Brisa before that if someone created an esrig in a mold and he made it like a different burial, like something else, it is possible. Amar Rava said, Rava Loishan, when is this halacha said, Ela Kimin Beri Acheres? That's only if the mold caused it to look like something else. Aval Kibriyasoi, but if it looks like itself, kosher, then it is kosher. If the mold was a regular esrog mold and the esrog comes out looking like an esrog, it's kosher. Fein gemar pshita. That's simple. What did it say? It said kimin beria acheres tanya. The Masoras Hashas tells us the lashon of the brisa was that it's like another beria. But if it's like its usual self, then in fact it would be kosher. What was Rava mechadishir by saying that that if it looks like itself, it's kosher? More answers. Loitzricha davide dafi dafi. It was made planks. In other words, it was made to look like a water wheel. And a picture of this, in fact, the last picture here in the Hamor HaMevuar on page 61, number 183, one can see what this esrog in the mold looks like. And the din is that here it will be kosher, because although it looks like a water wheel, but since it looks similar to the blitois of an esrog, we know a regular esrog has bumps and it has ridges and valleys, and this esrog, although it's not identical to a regular esrog, but it looks very similar, even though it was shaped in a special mold, as one can see on that picture there, afal pikein, it will remain kosher. This is the chiddush. So in other words, it looks like the regular esrog, although it's different than the regular esrog. So that itself, that's the chiddush, that this would be considered kosher. It's only possible if it looks kimin beri acheres. Now the Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Reish Mem Ches Sif Yutes tells us in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in his Sefer Bikurei Yaakov that it's not necessarily possible only if it looks like another beria. But as we pointed out to Rashi on Amud Aleph, Rashi says, She'ein, in Divrei HaMasel Kimin Beri Acher, She'ein Oidoim El Esrog Klal. The main point is not that it looks like something else, learns the Bikurei Yaakov. The main point is that it doesn't look like an esrog. What happens if I have something that doesn't look like anything? It has a shape that there's no bria, there's no creation in the world that looks like this shape. He made a unusual mold. It will still be possible, because the main point is that it doesn't look like an esrog. The chiddush of Rava is that if it looks like dafe, it looks like a water wheel which has a similarity to a regular esrog, that's enough to be considered that it looks kibriyosoi, it looks like its natural self, and it's kosher. But if it doesn't look at all like an esrog, even if it doesn't look like anything else that we're familiar with, the Bir Halacha, based on the Bikurei Yaakov, says that this, in fact, would be possible. Itmor, we learned. Esrog shenikvuhu achbor. If mice ate into the esrog, we could see the mice bites, and we could see pieces of the esrog missing. What is the Halacha? Omer Rav, ein ze hoder. This is not hoder, and therefore it will be possible. Ein, the Gemara asks the kasha, is this so? Vorab chanino matbel bo. And Rashi tells us that all their, as we had in Arvei Pesachim, that all their eating was done with dipping. V'nafik bo, and he used the esrog. After he dipped the esrog in sauce, and he ate from it, the remainder of the esrog he used to be yotze the mitzvah of esrog. Now the Meforshim point out that this is only kosher if he ate a little bit of the esrog. But if he ate roiv of the esrog and he only had a little bit left, then it doesn't look like an esrog at all, and that would be possible. So the Gemara is asking a question that how could Rav say it's not hoder and therefore it's possible when we see Rav Chanina ate from an esrog and in fact it was kosher. So the Gemara says besides this problem on Rava, but we don't understand Rav Chanina. Well, Rav Chanina kasher masnisin. On Rav Chanina, it's difficult, our Mishnah, because as Rashi points out in Divrei HaMasechel Uparchinon, Rashi says, Diktani Chaser calls you possible. It says in our Mishnah, as we began today's shir with, that if there is missing something on a esrog, it is possible. Here, when Rav Chanina bit into the esrog, now it's missing something, so how could it be kosher? So Bishlam Masis Rav Chanina Loikasher. Gemara says our mission is not difficult in Rav Chanina because Kam Biyantiv Rishon Kam Biyantiv Sheni, as Rashi explains in Divrei HaMasechel Mishaninin, that our mission is speaking about on the first day of Yantiv. The first day of Yantiv is a chi of Minat Torah to take an esrog, and on that day it says Ulakachtem, And we learn out, you need a lekicha tama, you need a complete lekicha, nothing can be missing. However, on the rest of Sukkot, where the whole chiv is only midrabbanan, the Rabbanan did not require a person to have a lekicha tama on the rest of Yontiv. Yontiv Sheni, for example, one could be yotze with an esrog that had something missing, as long as it was not roiv of the esrog, as we explained before. So v'meila, Rav Chanina is not difficult. Because if the whole question of Rav Chanina is from our Mishnah of Chasser, we could say the Mishnah apostles Yom Tov Rishon, and Rav Chanina was only yoitz with the esrog from Yom Tov Sheni and onward. Ela l'Rav Kasha. But according to Rav, it's difficult. Because if Rav says that Nakvuach Borim is a psulin hadr, Rashi says here in Divrei HaMashal, Ela l'Rav, Hadr is already a psul in all the days of Sukkot, even in those days where the chiv is only midrabbanan. As Rashi brings from the beginning of our perek, Yavish is psul, and the psul of Yavish is because it's not Hadr, and that doesn't make a difference whether it's Yontav Rishon or it's Yontav Sheni. And here, it's lacking in Hadr, according to Rav, then how could Rav Chanina be Yotze even on the second day, as Rashi says, the Hamitzvah Hadu Rabinin, and the Achorinim explain Rashi, that Einechanami, the Psul Hadr of Priyetz Hadr, is also only on the first day. But Rashi says that, as Rashi continues, Hoyul Umaskir Shem Shemayim Alav, since he's making a bracha on this Esrig, the Rabbanim were Machayev him to make a bracha on the Esrig. Therefore, it must have Hadr because of the usual halach of Hadr, which is Zek Heli Vamveyu, as the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kufla Megimla Beis, tells us, Hasnol, the fun of the mitzvahs. You should make all your mitzvahs beautifully. So therefore, Rashi learns that even if there's no din of pre-Eitz Hadr, which will only be on the mitzvah deraisa of the first day, but because of Asnol Lefon of B'mitzvahs, since you're saying Hashem's name over an Esrog, it will require Hadr because of that. And if there's a Psul Hadr, that would affect all the days of Sukkot. So how could Rav Chanina be Yotze, if we say there's a psul hadr, Rav Chanina obviously holds there is no psul hadr. The question is really on Rav. Rav, once you've come up with the psul of hadr, then it should be a psul all the days. And we see from Rav Chanina that he didn't consider it a problem of hadr. Amalor Rav. So Rav says, I don't have a problem from Rav Chanina. Shiny echborim de meisi. The bite marks of mice is different than a human bite. A human bite, people can tell a piece was bitten off. That is not a chesaron in hadr. The only chesaron is in chaser. Memela Rav Chanina was yaitzed from the second day of Yontav and on. However, bites from a mice, that even Rav Chanina would agree to me that there is a psul of hadr, and if it's a psul of hadr, ain't a chanami, it's psul the whole sukkis. Ikedi Amri, some say, Amarav Zehadar, that Achborim is the same as a human bite, and it would be considered Hadar, and there would not be a problem of Hadar to passel this Esrig. Darab Chanina, Matbaba, Venafigba. According to the Ikedi Amri, some say that Rav, in fact, brought a rye from Chanina, from the fact that he was dipping it into a sauce and eating from it, and he was yaitz with it. We see that there's no psul of hadr. The Gemara asks Rav Chanina kashem asnis, and it was missing something. The Mishnah says anything that's chaser is psul. The Gemara answers like kasha, kambi yontav rishon, kambi yontav sheni. If we're only dealing with chaser, that's only a problem on the first day of yontav. This was on the second day of yontav. The second day of yontav, there is no halach of a lekachtem lekichatama. You could be yaitz with an esrog that has a chaser in it, and that's a Rav Chanina was yotze with this esrog. The Ritva brings down a question that, and the Ran asked the question, what about the concept of huktza l'mitzvasoi? That we know that something that's set aside from a mitzvah, one is not allowed to have hanof from it. And on this, the Ritva answers to Rutsim, how Rav Chanina could in fact eat from the esrog. The first answer is Rav Chanina made a tnai, made a condition that I'm being maktza, I'm setting this aside for the mitzvah of the esrog, but I am making it conditional on the fact that I want to be able to eat from it. And the second teretz the Ritva says is that he originally set aside another esrog, and this second esrog had not been designated for the mitzvah; it was a spare esrog. on Yontif, he decided to eat part of it. And then he decided that, in fact, he wants to use this bit nesrig, which had not been originally hooked to the mitzvah, so and that, therefore, he was allowed to eat it originally. Now he wants to use it for an nesrig, and he did use it on the second day of Yontif. And on, there's no chaser, and also it was not considered a psul because of hadr, and that's why Reb Chanina was able to be yotze with this bit naf esrig from the second day of Yontif and on. Continues the Gemara. Esrig katan, a small esrig. We had a machlokus in the Mishnah whether it is the size of a bayit, a smallest kosher esrig, or the size of an egoyz. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, ke machlokus kan, kach machlokus ba'avonim mikur zolois. And the same we have in Masechta Shabbos. We have a machlokus there about avodim mikur zolos, which we will soon explain. And Rashi there tells us that the Gemara also says that the same machlokus that we have by avodim mikur zolos, that's the machlokus here, Masechta Sukkah. And Rashi says that it was just made for a way to remember, if you want to remember the shear, the amount in which there's a machlokus between the various tanoim, remember that the machlokus is whether it's a beya or it is an egos. What is the halacha of avonim mikur zolos, which means sharp stones? The sani we learned in the brisa, b'shabbos in Hilchis Shabbos concerning Shabbos, gimel avonim mikur zolos mutter lahachlis lebeis hakiseh. One is allowed to bring three sharp stones and bring them in from the field into the Beis HaKiseh. In those days, they did not use paper after using the Beis HaKiseh, and instead they would use sharp stones. So they were allowed, the Rabbanan allowed them to use three sharp stones. Rashi tells us that the Shiloh over here, what the Chachamim were permitting, was muktzah. Basically, these stones are muktzah, but if they're needed because of kavod habrius, because of the respect for other people, the chachamim allowed them to be over on muktzah and carry these three small sharp stones into the Beis HaKiseh. However, Rashi says there is not a problem, there is not an issur de rabbanan here of hoitzah, of taking from outside the Beis HaKiseh into the Beis HaKiseh, because Rashi says that the Beis HaKiseh didn't have any walls, the field didn't have any walls, so basically we're speaking about a karmelis. A karmelis, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, they made Isurim comparable to a Rishus Harabim, that one cannot walk four Amos in Rishus Harabim, even though in Rishus HaYachad, a private domain, one can walk more than four Amos. In a Carmelis, they are not allowed to walk more than four Amos. And also, they prohibited one to carry from a Carmelis into a Rishus HaYachad. But this Beis HaKiseh did not have any walls around it. So basically, we're speaking about a Carmelis. And it was right near the Beis HaKiseh, within four Amos. So he was not over on carrying from one domain to another, and he was not over on carrying four Amos in a Carmelis because it was less than four Amos. The only issue was Muktzah, that the Rabbanan permitted for Kavod HaBrias. Rashi Shita is that if we would be dealing with a issur of Hoitzah, that would not be permitted, even if it would be only an Isser Ritzah Mid Rabbanim, because from a Carmelis is an Isser only Mid Rabbanim. But since the basis for the Isser de Rabbanim of Ritzah, of caring from one domain to another, is a Melacha Midah Raisa, the last one of the 39 Avos Melachas on Shabbos is Ritzah, so therefore such a Isser de Rabbanim, which is very Chomer, is very severe, they would not have permitted even for Kavod HaBrias. So the only issur the Rabbanim that they permitted was Muktzah. However, Tosus here, in the second Tosus on the Amud Divrei Maschil B'Shabbos, Tosus says that the word Beis HaKiseh itself connotes that it was a house. It was surrounded with mechitzas. And And it says lahachnis, to bring in, would also indicate that you were bringing it in to a place with mechitzas. If so, even if the field didn't have any walls around it, you're going from a karmelis into a rishus hayachid. And we find he brings other proofs, Tosis, that a beis hakiseh in those days was a makom tsanua. It was a private place, and it was muk of mechitzas. It had mechitzas around it, and therefore Tosis' opinion is that if muktzah is permitted because of kavod abriyas, even hoitzah from one rishus to another, even if the beis hakiseh had walls around it, and you would be carrying from the karmas to rishus hayachid, even if it's ikra min ha-toira, and as we find in the Ramah in Simen Shin Yud Beis Sif Aleph, that he brings this machlokas here, Rashi and Tosis, and the Bir Halacha says that according to Tosis, Kavod Abrius will be docha even when you're dealing with two Durabonins, even if there's a question of muktzah on the stones, and even if there's an Issa Durabonin of Hoitzah from the Carmelis outside the Beis HaKiseh into the Beis HaKiseh. And even if Hoitzah is Ikra Min HaTorah, it's based on a Malacha of Daraisa, one of the Lama Tes Malachas, everything would be permitted for Kavod Abrius. However, Rashi Shita in our Sugi is only that muktzah was permitted and nothing else. Now, what is the size of these stones? V'kamashirin, ask the Gemara, Rameir Amr Kagais, that it has to be the size of a walnut, but as Rashi tells us in Divri Amaskal Kagais, that only those are able to be used by a person after use of the bathroom, but if it's bigger than that, he can't even use it, and therefore they remain muktzah. For that, they did not permit because of kavod abriyas. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says kebeya, that if it's as big as a egg's worth, that is still able to be used, and they permitted that as well. And therefore, the machlokas in Masechet Shabbos is identical to our Mishnah on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Shir Esr HaKotn, Rab Meir Amr Ke'egais, Rab Yehuda Amr Kebeya, and that's exactly what they hold concerning a completely different halacha, Hilchos Shabbos, what the Rabbanim were permitted because of Kavod Abrius, the size of these Avonim Mukur Zolis. Continues the Gemara explaining our Mishnah on Lamed Daled Amud Beis, Ubegadol Kedesha Yachas, what is the shear, the maximum shear of an Esrig? We had a machlokas in the Mishnah there, and Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was that it has to be big enough that you can carry two in one hand. If one is too large and one will be unable to hold two esrogim of that size in one hand, then those esrogim are possible. And Rabbi Yossi, in the last line of the Mishnah, there says, Afila echad b'shtei yadav, even if he holds one large esrig and it takes both of his hands in order to hold one large esrig, that is still kosher. It's not too big. Tanya, we learned in a brisa. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, Maisa, there is a story, Barabba Kiva, Shabbola Beis came to Shul, Vesroi Gal Ksefoy, and his esrig was on his back, as Rashi tells us, because Divri Amasal Ksefoy, Miroiv Goydle, it was so big, he had to carry it on his back. So Rabbi Yossi is bringing a proof to Rabbi Yehuda, and he's saying, look, you see, even if it was so large that he had to hold it on his back, it was still kosher. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, so Rabbi Yehuda answered back to Rabbi Yossi, Misham Raya, you're trying to bring me a proof from there. Af Haim Amalei, his colleagues told him in the base of Medrash, in the base of Knesset, Ein Zeh Hodr, that's a psul of Hodr. How could you bring such a large esring and want to be yotz to the mitzvah of esring with that humongous esring? Rashi points out, Divrei Maskal Ein Zeh Hodr, even though we learned before in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, that Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is that the reason why you can't have such a large esrog has nothing to do with Hadr, because in fact Rabbi Yehuda holds that Hadr is not a psul, not by Lulav and not by esrog, as the Gemara there told us, but rather Rabbi Yehuda is afraid that if you have such a humongous esrog, if sometimes you get the lulav in the left hand and the esrog in the right hand, you want to switch, the esrog will fall down and you will wind up with a pasul esrog. Therefore, you should not have such a large esrog. So what is Rabbi Yehuda saying over here to Rabbi Yossi that they told him it's not hadar? So the Rashi explains that Rabbi Yehuda is saying to Rabbi Yossi, even l'shitascha, you don't hold of what I said that maybe it'll fall down. You hold that the psul of a large esrog is because of hadar. The Chachamim, in fact, argued on Rabbi Kiva and said to Rabbi Kiva, how could you be yitz with such an esrog? It is not hadar. The Kapis Tmorim points out here in the sugya, what was Rabbi Yossi's question against Rabbi Yehuda? He was telling him Rabbi Kiva had a big esrog. So Rabbi Yehuda is a Tana. Rabbi Yehuda can argue in Rabbi Kiva. What was he trying to prove from bringing the story about Rabbi Kiva? Answers the Kapis Tmorim that the Gemara tells us that Rabbi Kiva was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yossi was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, your own Rebbe held that such a big esrog that you can hold the one in two hands is kosher. Why do you argue on me? You hold that if it's too big for two esrogim to be held in one hand, it's not kosher, when your Rebbe held that even one on the back is kosher. Why don't you hold like your Rebbe? So Rabbi Yehuda answered, he says, number one, it's a psul of hadar, but he was telling him something else according to the Kapis Tmorim. Af heim amruloi. They, in other words, a majority of the Talmidei Chachamim who were there in the Beis Medrash, they argued on Rabbi Kiva, so I'm allowed to hold like the majority of the Chachamim who disagreed even with my Rebbe, and I'm allowed to say that it is a problem of hadar and that it is psul. The Yaivitz points out here that when Rabbi Kiva held the esrog on his shoulders, that was only when he was moving it from one place to the other. When he was walking outside, it was too difficult to hold it in his, it was too heavy to hold it in his hands, he put it on his shoulder. But when he was yoitz in the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav, Avada, he held it in his hands. And the Yaivet says that if in fact one has an esrog that is so heavy that one cannot hold it in his hands and he must put it on his shoulder, then Einichanami, he is not yoitz with that esrog. We find in the Shulchan Aruch that Loyalenu, if someone does not have hands, it is mutter for him to put it in his roya, and as the Mishnah Berurah there explains, that means in the base hashachi, in the armpit, and one would be able to be yotza the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav in that unfortunate situation. The Achronim discuss if Loyalenu, one doesn't have arms at all, he doesn't have an armpit, whether he could be yotza Netilas Lulav by holding it in his mouth. Continues the Mishnah. Ein oignanimus a lulav ela b'minoi. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. One can only tie a lulav with the same min as one of the three minim that he's tying together, which is the lulav, the hadassim, and the aravis. If he has one of those minim, he can use it to tie up his lulav. He's not allowed to use anything else, and as we've learned already previously in this perek, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda holds that if one would tie it with something else, it would be a chsor and hadar, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a lulav does not have a psul of hadar. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara is going to tell us here, holds lulav tzorch agad, and if one would have another min, it would be an extra min. It would come out with the esrog together and this other material. He would have five minim, and it would be over on the Isser Bal Tosef. Rab Meir disagrees with Rab Yehuda, and he says, afilu b'chut b'mashicha, even with a linen thread, one could tie it up. Omer Rab Meir, Maisa Ban Yerushalayim, the story is concerning the people of Yerushalayim, with fibers of gold, they would tie up their lulav. So l'char yavaraya, that you do not have to do it b'minoi against the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Amru loy, so they told Rav Meir, b'minoi ha'yoygnoi se'milmato, that was only on the surface. We have two pshatim in the Rishonim here. Either the bottom of the lulav was held together b'minoi, and it was only gold on the top to beautify the mitzvah, or that on the bottom it was held, meaning the underneath the gold, which one may not have seen, there was b'minoi. On top of the b'minoi, there was the gold to beautify the mitzvah. But according to both pshatim, the Iker Agad of the lulav was being done b'minoi, and that's why it was in fact kosher. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rava, says Rava, afila b'siv v'afila b'ikra d'dikla. One can b'minoi, one can tie it up even with ivy or with pieces of the bark of the palm tree from which the lulav came. And from here, the Gemara brought a proof that the psul, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of tying it up with something else is not because of lack of hadr, because these items that grow on a palm tree do not look like the color of the palm tree, and therefore there's certainly no hadr, and yet this is kosher. The main point is because, as the Gemara is going to explain, the psul is because of a fifth min, and these are not a fifth min. These are part of the lulav tree, and therefore they would be kosher to use as agad. Amar Rava, Rava said, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Why it's only b'minoy and why it's kosher with a sieve or ikra de dikla? Kesavar, he holds lulav tzarech agad, that there is a mitzvah for one to tie the lulav up together with the other minim. The e maisi mino achrena, and if one were to bring another min and use that other min, he would use gold, he would use linen threads, whatever it might be, to wrap the lulav, it would become another min as part of the group of minim together. Havi chamisha mini would be chamisha mini, and as Rashi says in Divrei HaMaskil, ve'i maisi, on the second line, wide line at the bottom of Rashi, ve'i maisi minachrina, va'oiver mishum bal toisev, then he would have five minim, and it would be oiver because of bal toisev. However, if he has the same min, even though it looks different, like a sieve or ikra d'dikla, since it's not a psul of hadr, it's only a psul of bal toisev, and this is the same min, there is no bal toisev, then in fact it is kosher. In Siyata Dishmayim, tomorrow Shir, we will continue explaining the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda based on Rava's interpretation.